Shalom, precious saints of Yeshua. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of the Shofar Ministries Hour. Welcome to the news portion of our program. Well, the big news this week is, of course, the shutting down of the approximately 20 U.S. embassies in the Middle East. Now, they tell us it's because there was a more than usual amount of phone chatter, more than even before 9/11. However, no details are given of any specific area or time. Today, Yemen was hit by U.S. drones, killed a few people, and 70 U.S. personnel were flown out. So, they also told the Americans to leave Yemen as well. Hello? Am I missing something? Is Yemen a hotspot for American tourism and vacations? I don't know. I probably am missing something. But anyhow, I thought I read somewhere that today's terrorists are using more sophisticated ways to communicate with each other. You know, not just these regular cell phones, because they know they're being listened to. Like they're using untraceable phones or encrypted emails, etc. I discern that there is much more to all of this than meets our little eyes. I am not saying that it's fakery or anything like that, but perhaps over-embellished or purposely done to just, like, scare us into running, maybe? Make no mistake, the terrorists feel they have had a victory with the closing of our embassies. After all, it is the end of Ramadan when terrorism is supposed to increase, especially on the night called Laylatul Qadr, or the Night of Power, which is the anniversary of Muhammad receiving the first verses of the Quran. So it's a special night. This year it fell on Sunday, August 4th, which just happened to be Obama's birthday. Go figure. And it was also the swearing-in of the new Iranian president, Rouhani. Some, okay, many, are thinking Obama closed the embassies in honor of this night? Sort of like a birthday present to the Muslim world? Nah, that couldn't even be remotely possible, right? I mean, what advantages of waving a white flag on our embassies could have anyhow? Except adding more to our debt, for surely now we must spend even more money on even more sophisticated devices and national security, especially abroad. I just see these dollar signs adding up. And you can't deny it is a wag the dog situation away from the scandals, especially Benghazi that's been back in the headlines. But isn't it great to hear the liberals are declaring, oh, look how wonderful Obama is, to take such positive steps to help the safety of our Americans. Oh, and one more thing. He might add, of course, over here, for your added protection, we should step up our information gathering as well to help find these homegrown terrorists, because there's a lot of chatter here, too. Okay, enough said on that subject. Let's mention Israel. In the news right now is the question, will Israel attack Iran? And I'm just going to say the same thing that I've been saying for 2 years. I believe they'll continue to do their small, covert setbacks. No major war. Especially since Obama wants to negotiate now with Iran's new president, who has agreed to do so. And Israel will not go it alone, even though I know they probably could. But I believe these just fits the rumor war of wars, rumors of wars, to fit the foreshadowing prophecies of Matthew 24. Now, Egypt and Syria are still fighting their civil wars, ethnos against ethnos, which the Bible also says. But it will stop at some point to usher in a global time of peace and happiness when that man of perdition shows up with his charisma and hypnotic deceptions. And as I just said, even the new President Rouhani said, Iran is now prepared to enter serious and substantive negotiations on the nuclear issue. He said that. And then he went on to say that the concerns of both sides regarding the nuclear issue, he is confident, can be removed in a short time. So, besides Israel negotiating for peace, we also see the beginnings of a world peace at its early stages, where eventually the whole world will say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, stay tuned. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom, Mishpocha, and welcome to the live Shofar Ministries Hour, 1220 AM Christian Radio, or on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with our teacher and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. Before we get started, let's pray. Abba, we thank you again for the opportunity to proclaim your truth, your word, and your sovereignty over the airwaves here on Christian Radio AM 1220. Let your spirit guide us tonight. Make us know your ways. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God who saves us. We pray for the spiritual and financial welfare of all our listeners. May you draw those in our families who have not yet known your salvation to a life-changing encounter with Yeshua. Adonai, we lift up to you this program's financial needs. And we pray that those who can make a firm commitment to support this ministry do so, and soon. And of course, we ask to bless them, that you will bless them and heal our listeners. Heal their infirmities, and also the needs of those who wrote into us last week. In your great mercy, as we listen for that first trumpet sound that reminds us it is the season of repentance, as we wait expectantly for that last trumpet sound. And in the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And we're glad you tuned in. And by the way, the phone lines are open should you have a comment or a question concerning the end times or the fall feasts. And as of sundown today, which is right about now, on God's calendar, we have now entered the season called Teshuvah. And that means to repent and return to an intimacy with the Lord. This month, August, we will be teaching on Hebraic Roots 101. Tell your friends that have never heard about Hebraic Roots. Now, this month would be a good month to listen to, because we're going to discuss the fall feasts and the 40-day season that leads up to Yom Kippur.
Or 30 days, actually, to God's New Year, which is called Rosh Hashanah.
That's right. I like to call it the 30+10 season.
And why do Christians need to know about this?
Well, since he literally and physically fulfilled the spring feast, which means appointments, by the way. The word feast means an appointment. Mm-hmm. And these are appointments of the Lord. We can conclude that he will do the same when he returns in the fall for the fall feast, which must be fulfilled as well. I mean, it just stands to reason. And there's a lot of people that really don't realize that those seven festivals or seven feasts are really appointments that God has kept with man, and Jesus is going to fulfill, and has fulfilled four of them already.
That's a great thing to be able to understand. It helps us understand how the fall feasts are a prophetic sign that he's coming again.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
But now, the second time,
right,
in the fall,
came once, coming again.
With the fall feasts.
That's right.
Yeah, he's coming back for the harvest this time.
Uh-oh. That's right. And yeah. I believe the rapture will be in the fall.
Yeah.
And James infers that, and I'm going to be talking about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And what else was I going to say?
Seven years after the rapture?
It will also be in the fall. Thank you, John.
Yes.
Anyway, so the rapture, and then 7 years later, we will return with Jesus to the earth. Mm-hmm. And be very, very happy, because we will be with him in our resurrected bodies, new bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 19 talks about that, and he'll finish up the tribulation for the Antichrist and the false prophet and the lake of fire, and then set up his millennial kingdom on earth for the remainder of the millennial kingdom. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it, and that's enough to keep you happy.
He's fulfilled before, and he's going to fulfill again.
Well, of course he is. Our Jewish spiritual ancestors in ancient days, as recorded in their Talmud and many other writings, and still today with most of the Orthodox, is the belief that the resurrection of the righteous will occur on the anniversary date of the creation of the world, and specifically man, Adam. Today now, we call it the head of the year, or in Hebrew it's called Rosh Hashanah, and Christians like to call it the Feast of Trumpets, as the program last week explained, feeling that it does have the idiom called the last trump.
And you can check out last week's program because it's archived on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
That's right.
Don't put com.
No, use the net. Although I hear that org works as well.
ORG works?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because of believing the resurrection would be one of those 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, each year, beginning 30 days before this anniversary, they would doubly examine themselves thoroughly for any unrepentant sin or unforgiveness or anything that might keep them from being a part of this most exciting and most talked about anticipated event.
Sure, because the resurrection is the whole meaning of living a righteous life, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it still is, definitely. I mean, that's why we're here, to be part of that resurrection. We have our choice to be part of that resurrection. Everybody does. So, this month that began at sundown today.
I can see the sunset.
That's right. it's called Elul on the Hebrew calendar, E-L-U-L. And it always begins sometime in August and usually goes into September. And it's different because it goes by the lunar calendar.
And this
so every year it's different.
This little 40-day period has a name. And this has traditionally been called the season of Teshuvah, which is Hebrew, and it means to repent or to return to God. In other words, to take a closer walk with God.
That's right, and that's why it applies to Christians as well.
Yes, it does.
I mean, I know that, and we'll be saying this a few times tonight, that as soon as we sin, we repent. As soon as we recognize that we sinned,
mm-hmm.
we don't wait for Teshuvah to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But why not take this time period and say, wow, can I get a little closer to God?
Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Because some year, the rapture is going to happen.
And it's going to be in this season. We
well,
believe.
It almost has to be.
Yeah, so it's a good time of year to be ready.
I mean, I'm ready at any time, and God always said,
mm-hmm.
be ready at any moment.
But if you have something against somebody or you've got some things in your life that you need to deal with, it's a good time to deal with it.
I have no problem with him coming right now.
Wow.
Anytime is good for me.
Oh, where'd you go? Oh, there she is.
But
okay.
those festivals really do need to be fulfilled. And
yes.
I think the rapture will be fulfilling Rosh Hashanah myself.
I do too.
But anyway.
I'm very convinced after 12 years of that.
That's right. Well, I've been teaching this for about 20 years. And can you imagine the look on most Christians when I started teaching it?
Well, yes,
I
know you weren't received with accolades, that's for sure.
You know, or they'll say, have you turned Jewish?
Yeah. And they'll say, are you putting us under the law?
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
My goodness, what are you doing?
Oh, well. Oh. Anyway, what's interesting is that we see in the Old Testament that God particularly used this season often to warn his people that without God's help, situations can be difficult and will allow difficulties to happen during this time so that they would call on him. And as in the case of Nehemiah, who had gotten permission, remember, from the Persian king
mm-hmm.
to return to the city of his fathers, Jerusalem, and rebuild it, since it was in ruins and the gates were burned with fire. And that, of course, was from Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's recorded in Nehemiah 6:15 that it was during the month of Elul that Nehemiah ran into so much trouble getting the wall finished. due to the opposition from their enemies, whose leaders were Sanballat and Tobiah. God did help them to finish the wall, and it was to his glory, because the enemies knew it had to be their God that helped them. So maybe you could read that, actually. Would you read verses 15 and 16 out of Nehemiah?
Sure, sure.
Chapter 6.
So you're reading along in your Bible, you get to Nehemiah, 15, 16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul, in 52 days. And it happened, when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Now that's, I want to say he's speaking in first person.
Right.
The writer is. So,
he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to mention that a lot of times in the Bible it says in the sixth month or in the fifth month or fourth. But here in particularly, it's unusual, but it said the actual month of Elul.
It actually said the month of Elul instead of the sixth month.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So that's important. And when you're reading along and you see that, now you should think, well, this is important. Now, isn't there another example in the book of Haggai? Same deal?
Yes, there is actually the very first chapter. He makes sure that the reader knows that it was the sixth month, and now we know that that's Elul, on the biblical calendar, of course, that God implemented when they fled Egypt into their new life, which was, by the way, in the month of Nisan, which was the seventh month.
Mm-hmm.
But that was such a life changer. It was like sort of a born-again experience by leaving Egypt.
Oh, no doubt.
So he said, you know what? You make Nisan your first month.
Yeah.
So it kind of like, it was the same
thing. So spiritually.
Yes. So it was the same names, but he switched them to the first and the seventh.
Yeah. So he renumbered them, and the first becomes Nisan. That's the first month.
That's correct. Spiritually speaking, yes.
Spiritually speaking, yes. Instead of Tishrei, it's Nisan.
Yeah. So anyway, if you know some Hebraic roots, especially about the calendar, then when you're reading in the Bible, you'll know what season it is. And, of course, Haggai was very easy when it said they were in the sixth month. They knew it was Teshuvah.
Well, that's good.
And so that's what I would hope everyone would desire to be able to do.
Well, I think so, too, and I wanted to when I first started learning this stuff. So basically, all Scripture, after Exodus chapter 12, after they leave Egypt, we're now going by the spiritual or religious calendar.
Yes.
In the numbering of it.
That's right. And before Exodus 12, they just had their one calendar, or the civil calendar, and that actually begins with Tishrei, which is the beginning of the year, or Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. Now, wouldn't it be nice if all Bibles came with this calendar?
It would be. And I would imagine that some would. I don't remember seeing it, but
I have an old King James version. Just happens to have that in there. But I know a lot of Bibles do not put that in there.
Well, I saw one that did, but it was wrong.
Oh.
It had the wrong, you know.
Oh, no.
And I thought, no way. Oh, well, anyway.
No.
But here's the deal. I will be handing out some of these small calendars on paper at our Rosh Hashanah services the first week of September, when I'm going to be in Mentor and Chesterland. And it will include the names of each month on both the civil and the
religious
calendar. And you can actually tape it to the back of your Bible. So then you can refer to it when reading.
Mm-hmm.
And when it says in the first month or the seventh month or the sixth month, you'll be able to look and see what season it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nice to have. I use mine still all the time. And, of course, if you see what time of a year it is, you'll know the season, you'll get a better handle on why they are doing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And that's good. That's good. It just gives you a better understanding. Like in the book of Haggai, as you will see when I read from it right now, in chapter 1, here we go, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest.
Okay, so you see they say in the sixth month. Well, when I was reading that, then I realized, after I knew my Hebraic roots 101, that it was their season of repentance. So it made a lot more sense to me because he, well, you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So notice how he wants us to know that it was the first day of Elul,
mm-hmm.
which I just said is the beginning of their season of deep repentance, and to seek a more intimate relationship with God. And next, you will see, and you'll read that in a second, that God shows them the conditions of their hearts and rebukes them for caring more about their own houses than finishing the rebuilding of the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed around 100 years earlier when Nebuchadnezzar took them to Babylon. They had started it with Ezra, but got lazy. And we're mm-hmm. talking about the wall, actually.
Yes. And God had gone through great, I believe that was a miracle that they were allowed to come back. And,
mm-hmm. It was.
And God had done that and opened that path for them.
Yeah, well, it was, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, could you maybe read verses 4 and 5 of Haggai?
Yes, I will do that.
This is, God is speaking.
God is speaking here. Is it time for yours? Let me start again. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses? And this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
Yes, and then he repeats it again to them in verse 7, consider what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they were caring about themselves more than God.
And that is what everybody does. Yeah, especially today.
I know, but
this
you know.
This is the me, 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 me.
Christians aren't supposed to be as the world is doing.
I know.
You know, we're supposed to be different.
I know. We're also concerned with the world so much.
And I think when we come back, let's expound on that a little bit. Okay, let's take a quick break.
Oh, okay.
And now when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the cares of this life.
Okay.
And what Jesus said about them.
And the season of repentance.
Yeah.
So stay with us.
Okay.
Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be back after this cool song.
Life was filled with guns and war. All of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. The children died the day. A piece of bread. Goodbye, oh baby boy. I wish we'd all been ready. If there's no time to change your mind, the sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head, he's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill, one disappears and one's left standing still. Yeah.
Okay, that was DC Talk covering Larry Norman's song, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. And if you know who Larry Norman is, you're as old as we are.
Norman Knight?
Larry Norman.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay, you probably missed him, but it's a good song. It's about being ready for the rapture.
Oh.
Came out in the 70s, and DC Talk did a wonderful job with that song.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. I want to tell you, this is John Bartlett, your co-host here, and I want to tell you our phone lines are open. And that number for your question on End Times is 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D. Now, I'll be repeating that number later, so if you didn't get it that time, don't worry. Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group? She really loves to do that. Just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call her at the office. And that number is 440-834-9006. I'll repeat that, 440-834-9006. And please be sure to leave a detailed message.
Yes, please leave a detailed message. And remember, that's the office phone. That is not the number to call here at the station, which will be here for another half hour,
mm-hmm.
about that time anyway. And I really do want to mention that your donations are especially important at this point. They're just very vital to keeping this program on the air. And most of you know that we don't petition funding unless we really need to. I've done this in the past, and sometimes I've had to take a break because the funds didn't come in. Mm-hmm. So I really don't want to take a break now because I think we're so close to his return that I would hopefully be able to stay on. So really need your help. Airtime is costly, and donations are extremely low. So if you are getting blessed and learning from this program, please consider being a sponsor of any gift, or perhaps a monthly pledge would be really excellent.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, it'd be nice to have 40 people commit to $10 a month, and that's a very easy commitment to make. And if you like, if you have a business, we can do your advertising right here on WHK for you.
Yes, and I always say we do a mean commercial.
Oh, we do. We sure do. So all you have to do is to send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or there is a Partner With Us button. For a debit card on the homepage of our website.
It's kind of new.
That's kind of a new thing. Makes it easy for you. And also, when you do it that way, any donation really will put you on our informative newsletter list. So include your address, whether it's email or house address.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can either also pledge tonight by calling 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. And give Derek your information that you would like to be a monthly donator, and give your name and address and all that good stuff. And
be great. I'm sure God will bless you. And please be sure to check out the webpage. All our newsletters and previous radio programs are archived, and you can order recorded teachings there as well. And again, I told you I would remind you what those phone line numbers are, and they're open. The number for your eschatological question is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673, or just spell WORD, okay? The Shofar Ministries Hour is live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Please recommend this program to a friend. You can both listen, get your Bibles out and a piece of paper and pen. Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, or any area for that matter, always mark your calendars for the first Friday of the month, because that's when we meet at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland. And that's at 11815 Chillicothe Road, and that's Route 306, and that's in Chesterland. We always start promptly around 7.
We do. Promptly around.
Around 7.
No, we do. And I also want to say, please mark your calendars for Rosh Hashanah in September. It's the 5th and the 6th. It's lasts for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth, we're going to be out in Mentor at the Lakeshore Assembly of God. That's 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard in Mentor. And we'll be there on Thursday, the 5th.
Starting what time?
At 7.
7?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Friday we'll be at Chesterland at the Chester Christian Center, where I am, you know, once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be doing a Rosh Hashanah service a little more lively than normal,
mm-hmm.
and teaching on it as well. So come on out and bring your shofars and your tambourines. We're going to have some flags, and we're going to celebrate. It's New Year's,
Eve. We're going that's true. We're going to have flags and celebrate. We're also going to have, now if I say this, I don't want to get you in trouble, but we plan to have apples and honey.
We're going to give it a shot.
We're going to give it a shot, yes.
That's the traditional food for Rosh Hashanah because it's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, I think we left off, we were talking about consider your ways, says the Lord.
That's right, because
in this period of
because they
repentance.
Were caring more about themselves than God.
Okay.
That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah. It's the big me monster.
Oh, I know. And it's so prevalent today. Many are caring about their own cares of this life over getting to know him more.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said it would happen in Luke 21:34. He actually said they would care about the cares of this life over other things, over him.
Well, now that you brought up Luke in the 10th chapter of Luke, there's an interesting story of Mary and her sister Martha.
There is.
That talk about getting to know more. If you don't mind, I'd like to read that.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Read that from the Bible here. This is in Luke chapter 10. Verse 38, and I'll finish up the end of the chapter with this. On their way, Jesus and his disciples came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard what he had to say. But Martha was busy with all the work to be done. So going up
cares of this life.
Cares of this life. So going up to him, Jesus, she said, "Sir, don't you care that my sister has been leaving me to do all the work by myself?" However, the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are fretting and worrying about so many things. But there is only one thing that is essential. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it won't be taken away from her."
Well, and you know what's interesting about that is that I see that happening today as well, as far as others trying to get you not to study your word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll say, "Oh, well, you can do that later. Come and help me. I need your help."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can see that all the time.
Right, right. And that is the better. She has chosen the right thing. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think some versions say the better thing.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing.
That's right.
And,
so,
of course, Mary was there at the feet of Jesus being taught by him because
mm-hmm.
he was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
So those that are guilty of this, you need to be warned and tell others that the resurrection is coming. So please don't let your self-interest get in the way of spending quality time with him, building his temple that resides right inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a real Christian, that is. If not, you are playing with fire and will end up permanently in it.
Ooh, so good time to take this season to turn to the Lord before it's too late.
Ask yourself, whose kingdom are you building? Is there any idolatry in your life? Are you storing treasure in heaven or on earth for yourself?
Well, if you're honest with yourself, those are pretty heavy questions.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And we need to get honest with ourselves, not just at Teshuvah, but as often as we can.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is an interesting period of time.
It Teshuvah. Is an interesting. Mm-hmm.
And during our lifetime, I know we've both seen a lot of hurricanes that occur during the Teshuvah season, as well as some other disasters.
That's right.
Natural and otherwise.
And more remarkable was the 9/11 was actually during Teshuvah that year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a computer search, you will actually see many significant occurrences that happen in August and September, a lot in September.
Hmm.
So, if the resurrection does occur in the fall, as we mentioned James 5 does infer, because he talks about him coming at the harvest, then remember, we're going to have a wedding. So the month before a wedding would be a time of intense preparation. So think of Elul, this month that started today, as the final month, some year, just before your wedding. And you have an idea of what Elul, is that how you say it? Elul. Is all about.
That's right. And if you don't know what preparing for a wedding is, just ask someone who's married,
a
woman that's married, and she will tell you. It's all...
It's a lot of work there.
It's a lot of work. It's preparation. That a lot of advance work goes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this, of course, our wedding to the Lord is not even physical or material in nature, but rather spiritual. So it won't hurt your body at all, you know? And an entire month is dedicated to preparing oneself to come before the King of the universe at the resurrection or the rapture. You're still alive. I'm expecting that. And, of course, this will be of all the righteous. This next resurrection that's coming will be of all the righteous from Adam to now.
Hmm.
Now, this event, and I'm going to call it an event because that's what it is, it's actually been anticipated by the king's kids since Adam and Eve sinned. Since John 3:15.
Hmm.
So anyway, John, since you know more Hebrew than I do, certainly, can you explain maybe what each letter of Elul means? Because it really is an acronym for something, right?
Yeah, it sure is. And these four letters in Hebrew are the letters Aleph, followed by Lamed, followed by Vav, and ending with Lamed. Now, this is an acronym which stands for these words that I'm going to read. Ani Ladodi Vedodi Li. I'll say that again. Ani Ladodi Vedodi Li. That was the Aleph, the Lamed, the Vav, and the Lamed. Now, what does that phrase say? That phrase is from the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, and it's from chapter 6, verse 3. And this phrase says this, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine.
Those are very famous words. In fact, I have seen rings engraved with that on the inside, and it's definitely a wedding ring. Can be definitely a wedding ring.
Absolutely.
And that is, we're getting ready to be married to Jesus Christ. And he is my beloved, and I hope that I'm his.
I know you're his. Because he sent his son to die for us. And that act of great love, grace, and mercy.
Oh, yeah.
It's
about every attribute you can say.
I know. He's serious about that. We are his beloved, and he should be ours.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right?
That's right, which means we give him top priority.
Now, you said you found another word or another meaning of the word Elul.
See, I did?
Yeah, you just told me that I know all this Hebrew, but yet you have come up with another word.
Well,
or another definition.
Quite by coincidence, of course. But in Aramaic, it actually means search. Elul means search.
Hmm.
And as soon as I realized that, it reminded me of the scripture in Psalms 139, verse 23. Where David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. And he's the only one that can know our hearts. And then he says, try me. That's like saying, test me. That's a scary thing sometimes.
Mm.
But he said it. Know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. What a great prayer.
That is
a beautiful prayer.
And in the Psalms, you will find all kinds of prayers that are like that, that you can repeat during this season, and that you can really chew on and meditate on. I found some earlier today in Psalms. One of them was, of course, the whole Psalm 51.
Mm-hmm.
Is one that you can, I'm sure it's a very famous Psalm, but it also says, you know, David says, God, in your grace, have mercy on me. In your great compassion, blot out my crimes. Wash me completely from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin.
Mm.
For I know my crimes. My sin confronts me all the time. And I'll just read one more passage from Psalm 51. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil from your perspective, so that you were right in accusing me and justified in passing sentence. And it's a great psalm. It goes on, Psalm 51, the entire psalm. It can be read and reflected on. There's also another one that I found that I was very, very impressed with for this season.
Okay.
Let's see if I can
find it. Love the Psalms anyway. And, you know, actually, at when we meet in Chesterland, we also do Hebrew songs, and a lot of them are from the Psalms.
Yes, they are. And Psalms actually are songs. They were songs. We don't know what the melodies originally were, but you might hear something close in a synagogue.
Yeah.
You might hear something close of the original thing. Psalm 25 is a good one. It says, let's see, start here in verse 10. It says, all Adonai's paths are grace and truth. To those who keep his covenant and instructions, for the sake of your name, Adonai, forgive my wickedness, great though it is.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, and it goes on, and I would say verses 4 through 11 are great in this psalm.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it says, let me back up, in verse 4 it says, make me know your ways, Adonai, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me, for you are the God who saves me.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that cool? So there's another psalm.
Quite a few, isn't there?
Yep.
During this time, especially.
I've got one more of you.
Yes, I think we do.
Psalm 143. Good thing I brought my Bible tonight, huh? Psalm 143.
Always do.
Psalm 43. Now, this is good in the morning, and I like these two verses. It's Psalm 143, verses 8 and 10. I'll read 8. Make me hear of your love in the morning, because I rely on you. Make me know the way I should walk, because I entrust myself to you. And verse 10, teach me to do your will, because you are my God. Let your good spirit guide me on ground that is level.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could just go on and on for that, couldn't we? And
yeah.
If we have time, we'll do more.
Yes, we will. And you can actually create your own prayer. The book of Psalms is actually prayer. They're songs,
yes,
but they're inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Well, the whole Bible is.
And yes, and you know how many songs you hear on the radio, or anywhere, to iTunes, whatever, are inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And these were directly inspired
right
by the
Bible.
Holy Spirit to the degree where there's prophecy in the Psalms.
That's right. Oh, absolutely. And that's why I love the fact that you use so many of them when you do worship. At our services.
Yes, and I enjoy that. And a lot of people have told me that they
and you
enjoy
do it in Hebrew sometimes.
I do it in Hebrew, and I do that because it's hard to get other people to do these songs.
Oh, I know. You don't hear it very often. And I just want to say, too, that when we get into the Millennial Kingdom, we will be speaking Hebrew. All of a sudden, we're just going to know it. And that's the pure language, and that's what we're going to be speaking. So I think we're just getting a jump start there, and when we worship and praise the Lord in Hebrew, that's pleasing.
I think it's pleasing to Him. I really do. And if you can recite some of these psalms with in the original language, you will find it's not that hard to learn the vowels and the letters.
No, not after a while. You just got to.
We were teaching that. I was teaching that for a while.
That's right. Let's just finish up here. I do want to mention, too, because according to not just Jewish thought, but many believe that during Teshuvah, especially when you do your repentance and unforgiveness for somebody, which is very important, that Elul is also the month in which God's people can find particular favor with Him.
Hmm.
So, and that would make total sense, okay? So you repent or you forgive someone, mm-hmm. and then you ask the Lord for something, and He will answer.
Hmm.
Okay? In fact, there's a verse, if you could flip to your Bible to Isaiah 55, 6, and 7. Why don't you read those two verses? It kind of matches what I just said.
Okay, I got it right here. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return, Teshuvah, to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 7.
That's right, and he will. Now, of course, as we said, and I'm going to say it again, as New Testament believers, we all need to repent as soon as we recognize that we have sinned. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good to look at ourselves more closely during this month. And as you draw close to him, as you should, well, that is, unless you can say, my life and my home are completely in order, and my relationships are exactly as God would have them.
I wish I could say that, actually.
Yeah, well, if you can't, then you should definitely take this month and try to get as close as you can to him, because some year we are going to a wedding.
And that's true, and God works with his appointments. The word for feasts also means appointment, and as well as feast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we probably need more than 1 month for correcting just the errors of, say, sin of omission, which
the
is doing things
sin.
that we should have
like
been doing.
Like letting the whole day go and never, you know, and opening never, your Bible at all and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, true teshuvah will always lead to a positive advancement in your spiritual life.
Hmm.
Positively. He likes a humble person.
Mm-hmm.
He gives grace to the humble. And repentance is always a humbling thing. And I highly recommend, when you repent, to get down on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I don't know what it is. It's just something that just kind of comes over me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fall even more deeply in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
But get down on your knees. And
that's the Holy Spirit that's leading you to that repentance.
He does that for all of us, doesn't
he? Sure
he
does.
And especially with the shofar. Now, there's the other thing. Every day during Teshuvah, they blow the shofar. And it sounded to lead up to the final 100 sounds that is given on Rosh Hashanah. So every single day during Teshuvah, the shofar is blown, which is a reminder to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finally get to Rosh Hashanah, which some year could be the resurrection,
mm-hmm.
they would blow it 100 times.
Wow.
And we said this on last week's program.
Right.
And at the last sound of the trump, some year will be the resurrection, which is why we call it the Feast of Trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Jewish people call it that, do they?
No.
No. Okay. But anyway, that's what it is. Now, let me ask you out there, people, if he sounds the trumpet this year, are you sure you're going?
Wow.
And that's, if not...
Then if not, if you don't have Yeshua in your life, or you've not made him Lord over your whole life, or you just have that head knowledge of him and not really the heart conviction, and there's a lot of folks out there like that. I know I was like that. It's easy to get complacent and think we don't sin.
Absolutely. I had a head knowledge for a while as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And God will bring this stuff up, and you can get on your knees right now and just repent. Just admit that, yes, God, you're right, and this is sin. And just tell him that about these, he knows them, of course, but tell him these individual sins that are weighing you down and hanging around in your life, and you just want them out of there. You know what they are, and they are weighing you down. And then from there, just commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, as the case may be. I think Sheila and I have both recommitted our lives at points in
mm-hmm.
our lives. And remember, he's your Savior. And it's always good to choose where you want to spend eternity. And that's the choice we're given on this earth. And the right choice is the choice to choose Yeshua. Choose God's way.
That's right.
Of making yourself clean. God has sent his Son. So you decide yourself. Choose him now. There's only two places you can go.
That's right.
When you die, and that's with God or with Satan. So decide.
And then fulfill that great commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. That's it. Don't worry about everything else. Just go and make disciples. Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep. For he is the great shepherd.
Yevrekaka Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav ilecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav ilecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. We'll see you next Tuesday, 8 o'clock. Don't miss it.
Amen.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.